We're glad you're with us this morning. We've been involved for a long time now in a study called The Beginning and the End, where we take the book of Genesis one Sunday and the book of Revelation the next Sunday, and we show how what had its beginnings in Genesis has its fulfillment in Revelation. Today, it's one of those kind of, an awe-inspiring story that's kind of on the negative side. But it's in Revelation chapter 18. And what I mean by that, there's coming an economic crash. And if you know your history, it's going to be, well, if you know what happened in 1929 or more modern times like 1987 in October, what happened with the stock market then, it's going to make that look like child's play. Now, I don't know exactly when it's going to happen. I know it's not that in that too far distant future, but I know it's going to happen because the Bible says that it is. And we're going to kind of unwind all of that today in Revelation 18, the first two verses. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now, if you've been with us through this entire study, you know that Babylon is sort of a cryptic name that describes the kingdom under the Antichrist in this ungodly age. It's called Babylon because its ideas, its philosophies go all the way back to Genesis. There was a guy back there by the name of Nimrod who was a type of the Antichrist. He built the Tower of Babel, or Babel, which was the world's first attempt at humanism. And humanism is man's attempt to establish his own kingdom instead of God's. But this is all going to come to an end in the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation. Now, back in 1971, the Iraqis introduced a program to rebuild ancient Babylon as close as possible to the original specifications. They want to reconstruct those hanging gardens of Babylon that made that city so famous. They want to rebuild a replica of the Tower of Babel. And as of 1980, they had raised about $30 million for that project, and today with all of the billions of dollars coming in from the OPEC nations, it's certainly not unreasonable to see that they could, in fact, rebuild old Babylon. I don't know what happened to those plans after the war in Iraq. I do know that at that time, Saddam Hussein was in charge of rebuilding Babylon. I do know this, that God has pronounced a curse on anyone who tries to rebuild that city. As a matter of fact, he said the firstborn of anyone who tries it will die. And I do know this, Saddam and his sons are dead. Now some think that Babylon is symbolic for the city of Rome, which will be the center of Antichrist's kingdom. That's possible. No one really knows. We'll understand more about it as we see these prophecies begin to be fulfilled. But the Bible says that some of these prophecies are going to be sealed up until the end. There's one thing I'm sure of, and that is that Babylon stands for a vile, wicked system. It's the evil counterpart of the holy city, the New Jerusalem. Now, we saw the destruction of religious Babylon in chapter 17, but in chapter 18, we're going to see the destruction of commercial Babylon. And God does refer to this evil system as a city, So the first thing that I want you to notice is the destruction of that city. Let's look at our text again. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon is the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now, the first thing I want you to see under the topic of the destruction of that city is the godlessness of her sin. This system is infested with demon worship, Satanism, the occult, witchcraft, astrology. Our current president, as he likes to say, is draining the swamp in Washington, D.C. Well, as he does that, we're beginning to see just how deeply involved Hollywood elites and high-ranking politicians are into this occult. You know, if I told you some of the things they'd uncovered, you may know about some of them, but if I began to describe that, some of you want to run out the door and begin throwing up. It's the most heinous, vile stuff they're involved in that you can imagine. It's only going to get worse. And the Bible says that when this bottomless pit, the abyss, is opened up, that demon-like locusts are going to swarm out of it and begin to torment men. And this pit has been the abode of demonic spirits who have been incarcerated there. And in the last days, these vile spirits are going to infest the whole earth, especially the kingdom of Babylon. And when people begin to realize that science has failed to bring them the utopia that they hoped for, they're going to turn even more and even deeper into the occult. It's amazing to me that people won't believe the gospel, but it's even more amazing to me what they will believe. There's not only the godlessness of her sin, there's the grossness of her sin. Look at verses 3 and 4. For all nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not her plagues. Now, that word fornication is used two different ways in the Bible. First of all, it means the actual physical sin of immorality. But secondly, it means the sin of unfaithfulness, of spiritual immorality, lusting after other gods. Now, verse 3 mentions the abundance of her delicacies. Let's see what one of those delicacies is. Verse 23. And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. That word sorceries comes from the Greek word pharmakia. What's that sound like? Pharmacy. It means an enchanter with drugs. The Antichrist is going to cause and is already beginning to cause people to be addicted to marijuana and cocaine and meth and heroin and all of that. He wants it to be freely sold, and we're seeing state after state after state beginning to open up to the free sale of marijuana, and it's just going to, that's just the starting point. It's going to go farther and farther and farther. David Wilkerson, famous Christian writer, said a couple of decades ago, quote, I have yet to see a person who was involved in Satan worship, who did not first of all open his mind to the mystical experiences through the use of drugs. That's a pretty big statement. And that's what he does, is deal with people that are involved in that. So he ought to know. And not only is there the godlessness of her sin, there's the grossness of her sin. And then in verse 5 and 6, we see the greatness of her sin. John says, "For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she has filled, fill to her double." Babylon has filled the cup of sin absolutely to the brim, and her sins have mounted up to heaven. I think John may be using a play on words here, because back in Genesis chapter 11, they said, "Let us build a tower whose top reaches into heaven." And you know what happened in that story. And John comes along now and he says, it's not the tower that reached to heaven, it's their sins that have reached unto heaven. And there's coming a day when God is simply not going to tolerate it anymore. See, God sort of allows their sin to ripen. He often does that. For example, he didn't destroy the Amorites until the sin of the Amorites was full. Back in Genesis 15, verse 16, God waited over 100 years while Noah was building that ark. And then finally it says that the imaginations of men's hearts were only evil continually, and God came to the end of his patience and he destroyed them all. Sometimes it may seem to us like God is overlooking our sin, but I want you to know the sword of his vengeance never sleeps. God says in verse 6 that her punishment will be double the greatness of her sin. If you meditate on that a minute, we're talking about some bad judgment here, bad sin. Now, I want you to see the gleefulness of her sin. Verse 7, "How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow." You'll almost hear her bragging. Antichrist and his kingdom are going to be living high, wide, and handsome. And if you're not careful, you might even be tempted to envy the kingdom of the Antichrist. As a matter of fact, God sends a warning to the tribulation saints. He says, "Come out of her, my people," there in verse 4. Antichrist and his kingdom are going to be high on drugs. They're going to be sated with every kind of pleasure, and they're saying, "Just let the good times roll." But there's not only the gleefulness of her sin, there's the guiltiness of her sin. Verse 8, "Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her." The collapse will come quickly, literally in 1 hour. Now, if you think that black day on Wall Street in 1929 came suddenly, you just watch the wheeler dealers of this world when judgment comes on the kingdom of Antichrist. We've looked at the depravity of the city. But now I want you to see the disappointment over this city. When Babylon falls, there are going to be people who weep and wail. Matter of fact, there are three classes of people who are going to be heartbroken when the collapse of this great Babylon comes. First of all, there's going to be the disappointment of the monarchs. Verses 9 and 10. "And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. Oh, how the kings of this earth are going to weep because they yielded their allegiance to the Antichrist. They put all their eggs in one basket and all their hopes in one man. The World Bank, Trilateral Commission, European Federation, the OPEC nations, all come together saying, at last, we have this world economic system that will last. It's going to be happiness and prosperity for all. But now all they can do is sit and weep. All their armies, all their resources cannot stop what's happening because there's been a centralization of wealth. For years now, the OPEC nations and China have been buying this nation. Did you know that China and the OPEC nations singularly could literally buy Wall Street and every stock in it? Right now, there's already a redistribution of wealth going on. Before long, it's all going to be a centralization of wealth. It began in this country back with the Federal Reserve System, which never should have happened. It's all going to be in one pot all over the world. It's going to have one ruler over all of it. And you'll never be able to buy or sell groceries, medicine, anything. You won't be able to buy or sell unless you have his mark in your right hand or in your forehead. Not only will there be the disappointment of the monarchs when the system crashes, there's going to be the disappointment of the merchants. In verses 11 through 13, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. These things that men have sold their souls for is going to turn to rust and dust and corruption. Look at verses 14 through 17. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. And thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches has come to nothing. Oh, the disappointment of the merchants. Those great conglomerates, monopolies, wheeler dealers sitting behind their mahogany desks. They said, we've got it made. It's all wiped out in a single hour. And then there's going to be the disappointment of the mariners. Verses 17 through 19, and every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she's made desolate. Oh, the disappointment of the transport companies and all those who fly the cargo planes and the trains and the ships, the labor unions, the Teamsters, they're not going to be able to do anything but weep because it's all gone up in smoke, everything they schemed for. We've seen the depravity of the city. We've seen the disappointment over the city. Now let's look at the destruction of the city, verses 20 through 24. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of the harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. No craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of the candle shall be no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. We see the violence of these judgments. I want you to also see the vastness of it. Look at all the no mores in these verses. Verse 22 says there's no more music. Remember, the devil was in charge of the music in heaven. And yet he fell and infested and put so much evil in the music here on this earth, because a lot of the music, instead of being used to glorify God, is used to blaspheme God. And God all of a sudden will say, no more music. And it'll be gone. Then God will say, no more manufacturing, no more factories, no more contracts, no more paychecks. Then he'll say, no more marriage. In verse 24, we've got the little nobodies who wouldn't go along with the Antichrist and his system, and it cost them their very lives. Fearful days are coming to the earth. And the book says in 1 hour, it's all going to come crashing down. And considering all that, I want to ask you a question. How rich are you? How rich are you? I'm going to give you a formula so that you can determine how rich you are. Are you ready? Add up everything you own that money cannot buy and that death and destruction cannot take away from you. Let me say it again. Add up everything you own that money cannot buy and that death and destruction cannot take away from you. And then and only then will you know how rich you are. Add it up. You'd better start storing up riches. True riches, because the rest of it's coming down. And if you're putting all your investments in the world, you know what you're doing? You're just painting the deck of a sinking ship. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17 says, this world passes away and the lust thereof, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Now notice what it says. It doesn't say he who believes the will of God. It says he who does the will of God. Whole world's passing away, but he who does the word of God, the will of God, abides forever. Be honest. Does that describe you? Really? I'm going to have our musicians come. We're going to have a time of invitation. And folks, this isn't just some fantasy. This is going to happen. Matter of fact, we see All of the four gleanings of it already taken place. All you have to do is turn on your nightly news station, read your daily newspaper. You can see everything I just talked about already starting to happen. And it's getting faster and stronger every day. It's like Jesus said of the end times. He said, it's going to be like a woman in travail. That means a woman in labor pains. And you know how that works. The closer it is to the time of the baby's delivery, the more intense the pains get and the closer together they come. And we look at the things he told us to watch for. You know, natural disasters, earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, all those things. We see them intensifying. They're getting stronger. They're getting closer together. They're becoming more destructive than ever before. And it's just like Jesus said it would be. He said, it's going to be like a woman in travail. And he said, when you see those things, know I'm at the door. When he comes back in the air, it's going to happen, the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to be in a millisecond. Not going to be any time for you to get ready then. You better be ready ahead of time. He who does the will of God abides forever. Is that you? If it's not, it can be. What are we going to sing, Gary?
183.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's stand. And you consider if we've been describing you today. And if not, friend, you can come and surrender your heart to Jesus today. And you can know that when that trumpet sounds, you're going to head on out of here to be forever with the Lord. I hope you'll come as we sing. Seat for just a second. While we were singing, I realized I left a thought incomplete, and then we're going to do something else here in just a second before we go. I said that you ought to invest in true riches. When I told you to find out how rich you are, add up everything you own that money can't buy and death and destruction can't take away from you. So how do you invest in something that's going to last forever? There's only one way I can think of. If you're going to have treasures in heaven, then you need to invest in the only thing that's going to heaven. And that's the souls of men. How do I do that? Missions, evangelism efforts, your church, anything that's helping to prepare people to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior so that they can spend an eternity with Him in heaven, find a way to invest in that enterprise. Then you'll have true riches that will never rust or corrupt or fade away. So I just wanted to share that with you.